for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. Online dating services have become big business as more and more people decide to look for a soulmate. Online dating services are using increasingly sophisticated tools to make matches. Joining me to talk about the pros and cons of using online dating services, having made it through a blizzard to get here, is Nancy Ann Sterling. She's founder and owner of TargetLove.com. That's an online dating profile writing service. Good morning to you, Nancy Ann. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much, Diane, for having me.
Delighted. And joining us by phone, Ellen McCarthy of The Washington Post. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Diane.
By phone from New York is Helen Fisher. She's professor of anthropology at Rutgers University. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Diane.
And John Gonzaga. He is senior director of research and development at eHarmony and head of eHarmony Labs. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Diane. Thank you so much for having me on.
Glad to have a male on this program as we talk about dating services.
I am usually alone in being the only male.
Well, that's interesting. All right, we'll take your calls all through the hour. 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. Send us a tweet or join us on Facebook. I'm looking forward to talking with all of you. Nancy Ann, I want to ask you about your business. You have a business helping people to write their own profiles. Tell me how and why that came about.
Well, I had realized from my own experience of online dating that some of the profiles that I was reading were not doing a good job of displaying people's good qualities. I had friends online and I would read their profiles and I kind of felt they're wonderful people, and these profiles are not saying it. We kind of fall into a rut the same way a lot of resumes may look similar. A lot of dating profiles look similar. A lot of people just list adjectives that say things such as, my friends describe me as outgoing, smart, and dependable. And if everybody's profile says that, it's no longer exceptional to be outgoing, smart, or dependable. So one of the things that I encourage my clients to do, or when I write profiles for my clients, I want them to basically turn one of their traits and demonstrate it. So if you're dependable, it's better to say, I'm the guy you'd call at 2 a.m. to come out and change your tire. Because not only does that say, yes, he's dependable, but it even shows indirectly, it kind of shows masculinity, this fellow's going to change your tire, that he's patient and understanding, but yet you don't have to say, I'm patient, I'm understanding.
And what I think you could put on your own profile is, I make it through blizzards to get to WAMU. Ellen McCarthy, let me turn to you. You've written a number of articles about online dating services. Give us a sense of the business as a whole. Who's using it? What are some of the trends?
The business as a whole is really big right now. You know, some estimates put it at, you know, nearing $2 billion within a few years. And statistics aren't great, but we think it's about 20 million people a month who are logging on to these these sites. And, I mean, I think that the sort of key to understanding this is to sort of think about the way that the internet has sort of transformed all of the parts of our lives, how often we use it for business and for personal transactions. You know, so much of our workdays are spent online. And I think for a long time there was this resistance to using it in our personal lives, but, you know, it just sort of became this natural extension. The same way that we keep in touch with friends on Facebook now, we're also using the internet to you know, reach out to people that may be in our own neighborhood, but we don't have, you know, an opportunity to meet because we're not, you know, maybe playing in bowling leagues as often as we might have 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Ellen McCarthy of The Washington Post. Turning to you, Helen Fisher, there at Rutgers University, you said online dating is cheap, it's safe, and it works. Tell us what you mean.
Right. Well, first of all, you know, I'm the chief scientific advisor for chemistry.com, which is a division of match.com, and I helped to design their questionnaire. But it is cheap. I mean, it's a lot cheaper to spend $50 a month to meet five people a day than it is to walk into a bar and, you know, spend $50 in the evening and meet nobody. But, you know, I just would like to say one thing about what was just said. I think it's more than just the online, you know, the rise of the internet. We're not marrying the person we met in high school anymore. We're not marrying the person we went out with in college. We're not even marrying in our early 20s. We're marrying in our late 20s or early 30s. And by then, you really already know everybody in the office and in your social circle. So this, I think online dating, Match.com, Chemistry.com, and the other services are providing a really necessary need. I mean, you know, it really enables you to meet people, and that's the real point. I mean, we've got the human brain to understand when you meet somebody whether that's a good choice for you, but we really need a whole community to provide us with these opportunities.
And John Gonzaga, that's exactly what you're doing. I gather eHarmony makes some pretty impressive claims about the number of matches that actually lead to marriage. What are the figures? Where do they come from?
Yes, we did a study with Harris Interactive a few years ago, and for the year ending March 2007, we found that we married a little over 44,000 couples. That's just about 2% in the United States, or 236 people a day. And I think what this does is really attest to how the internet has become a platform for people to be able to expand their social world and to find people who are like-minded. So we've always focused on long-term relationships, helping people find those good quality long-term relationships. It's a part of our company desire. And it really allows people to find people who are like-minded in that way, allows them to search out and find people who are looking for a long-term relationship. And that's a really wonderful thing for people who don't have the same social network. So, for example, divorced people will often say, my friends are married. You know, I don't know where to meet people anymore. Well, I think, you know, services like eHarmony and other online dating and the internet have solved that problem for people.
Well, John, let me take you back just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you put things on paper and when somebody reads and makes inferences from what he or she reads, the reality can be so extraordinarily different from what you imagine when you read that profile.
Yes, yes. And that's one of the reasons we like the idea of having people who are helping create profiles, and we're introducing that service ourselves on eHarmony. You really, you know, meeting people at the beginning is one step in the process. And what we've tried to do is help people meet others who are compatible with them, but also put them through steps in communication where they can get to know each other. So it's not just about reading a person's profile. It's about exchanging questions. It's about emailing a person. It's about talking to them on the phone. It's about meeting them for the first time. And each time you're going to get more information about that individual and whether or not they're the right person for you. So a profile is just one piece of information, and the more honest and the more people can bring across who they really are in that profile, the better off they're going to have success in finding a relationship.
John Gonzaga, he's Senior Director of Research and Development at eHarmony, and head of eHarmony Labs. Do join us, 800-433-8850. Nancy Ann, I think John hit on a key word, and that's honest. How do you be absolutely honest and yet put yourself in absolutely the best light you can?
Well, I always tell many of my clients, who most of them are professionals, busy people, it's okay to be honest, because this is quality versus quantity. If you wanted to go on a date every night of the week, you probably will meet a lot of people that aren't a good match for you. But if you're honest and you're specific, you are going to get less people coming in as far as writing you and being interested. However, those people know more what you're about and what you're looking for, and you have much more of a higher likelihood of them being a better match or fit for you.
And how many times have you had someone come back to you and say, how in the world could you have written this about this person? You know, it doesn't have anything to do with the reality of who this person is.
That doesn't really happen. When I write someone's profile, we sit together probably for 2 hours.
Really?
Yes. And I ask them, particularly if they live locally, we meet one-on-one, and I ask them lots of questions about themselves.
And John Gonzaga, how does that compare with how you write a profile of someone?
That's certainly much more in-depth than what an individual normally will do when they write a profile. And I think this is why we really like these ideas of these services. We've taken to heart helping people write their profiles better, and actually are rolling out ways to describe yourself better. So we may take some of this advice and roll it into the stuff that the advice that we're giving to our users.
John Gonzaga of eHarmony. Nancy Ann Sterling, founder and owner of TargetLove.com, Ellen McCarthy of The Washington Post, Helen Fisher of Rutgers University and Chemistry.com. When we come back, we'll open the phones. Stay with us. As we talk about online dating in anticipation of Valentine's Day coming up, I know many of you are waiting on the phones. We'll try to get to you as quickly as possible. First, I do want to get a question out of the way that may be on the minds of many people. This for you, John Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. Please ask why eHarmony does not match up same-sex couples. Isn't it true that you do so now?
We actually do so. We launched a same-sex service called Compatible Partners, which if you come onto eHarmony's site and say that you're a man choosing a man or a woman choosing a woman, you will go directly to that site. We're very dedicated to the site. It's actually the customer base has been very responsive to it so far, and we're hoping to grow it a lot this year.
All right. Now, I have a question for you, Helen Fisher, and that is, wouldn't it make more sense if all of these dating sites used a video of each person out there seeking a partner.
Yes, I think it would. And as a matter of fact, Match.com and Chemistry.com have been thinking about this very thing because, you know, they call it love at first sight. They don't call it love at first email or love at first profile.
Exactly.
And you learn an enormous amount about a human being when you see them and also when you hear them. The voice is very important. But you know what's really important, Diane, is that those first few minutes are very difficult in a relationship, that first meeting, because even the first meeting, because you know so little about the person that you overweight those few things that you do. So one of the things that I say at chemistry.com is if the person fits within what I call your love map, or if you like them at all, go out again and meet them a second time. The more you get to know somebody, the more you like them. But as much as information as you can give somebody right off the bat, which is certainly what I'm trying to do at chemistry.com, the better they can really judge what's right for them.
Ellen McCarthy, how many of these sites out there are using videos?
I think a lot of them are trying, and I think that what you'll see even more increasingly than sort of static videos or pre-recorded videos is people having the first interaction in sort of a live video chat.
That makes sense.
That's the thing that's really good.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so that you're having a conversation and there's a rapport being built rather than somebody just, again, sort of presenting themselves, which is a really difficult thing for people to do, to feel like, you know, they're going to be judged, which they are, by whatever they, you know, put out there in this very flat way.
What do you think about that, Nancy Ann? A sort of video conversation to break the ice, to help people to really recognize certain characteristics they may be attracted to or not.
I think that has a lot of promise. Right now, some of the sites have an instant messenger feature where you can kind of banter back and forth, but of course you miss sort of the physical cues that the other person is demonstrating. Sometimes I actually encourage my clients to use Skype prior to meeting. That way they're not giving out a phone number, especially those who are a little more concerned about safety. And then that way they can have a live chat with somebody. And then if they have a webcam, they can see the person and kind of get around that.
John Gonzaga, talk about the safety feature. I think there are a lot of people who might be concerned about that.
Yes, it's certainly something that everybody has to keep in mind, not only with online dating, but with just dating in general, because there's always issues about being safe. What I think at eHarmony, and I hope that all other dating sites do, is to help people through the process of getting to know someone. And I think both Nancy and Helen touched on it very well. The more information you can find out about that individual, the more you can talk to them, exchange emails, video conference with them, you know, meet in a safe place where you can get to know them better, the more you're going to get to know them and know whether that relationship is going to be good across the long haul. In the safety issue, I think it's really about making sure that you take it slow and keep your eyes up and your ears open for things that are warning signs about whether or not an individual is trying to be fraudulent or trying to be dangerous.
But how can anybody really tell that, Helen?
You know, it's interesting what John was just saying, because this safety issue is really essential, and all dating sites understand that. But you know, I would like to, you know, when we seem to assume that things might be less safe on a dating site than just walking into a bar. But when you think of it, walking into a bar where you don't know anybody, you don't know their background, you don't know their educational level, you don't know their goals, you don't know their purposes, is a whole lot less safe than going on to a responsible dating service and really getting to know a great deal about a person before you actually meet him. And actually, it's more natural to the human brain. I mean, for millions of years, we lived in these little hunting and gathering groups, and a girl might not know that cute boy at the other side of the waterhole, but her mother knows, you know, his aunt, and his father's been hunting with his cousin, etc. You knew a lot about somebody before you met them. And so these dating, you know, Match.com, eHarmony, a lot of them, you get to know the person well enough, just these basic things, so that by the time you meet them, you've got some clear view of the basics. And then, of course, we really encourage you at chemistry.com to go out for coffee in the middle of the afternoon in a very public place and meet them there.
Ellen McCarthy, how concerned were some of the people you talked with about the safety issue?
I think it's some ways, it sort of depends on generation. I think for people in their 20s who do online dating, it seems much more natural. Rather than the fastest growing demographic of online daters is 50 and older, and these are people for whom maybe they're sort of diving back in the dating pool after having been married for a while, and maybe they're divorced or widowed. And I think for them, it seems much more unnatural. And so safety is a big concern, as it should be. But I agree with Helen. I think that if you meet in someplace well lit and it's during the day and you've maybe gotten a full name and you've given a friend some information about where you're going to be, then probably you'll be okay, as long as you keep some skepticism.
I'd also like to know from you, John Gonzaga, how eHarmony matches people. How do you arrive at conclusions as to who is going to fit with whom?
Yeah. The original idea behind eHarmony, which started back in the mid-90s, was to take a look at the qualities that very happy married couples shared that made them successful in their relationships. So we actually studied thousands of married couples before we ever started offering the service. And we looked at the happiest couples and said, okay, what personality traits, what values, what attitudes do the two of you share that make you different from the less happy couples? And these are the kinds of things that people stay very consistent with across their lifetimes, the thing that they hold very close to themselves, their personality, and their values. And we apply this to matching up singles individuals, and this is what we call compatibility. And what we found is that people who are similar on these qualities tend to be more successful in their relationships. So we think that we're really helping people find those individuals who are most compatible with them.
But John, my husband and I have been married for 50 years, and we are probably the least compatible people you've ever met. I mean, our backgrounds are totally different. The way we come at life is totally different. I don't know how you judge compatibility. What do you think, Nancy Ann?
I think a lot of people put a lot of value on this chemistry or spark that two people have in an initial meeting, which is why a lot of the speakers have talked about the idea of getting to know someone prior to meeting. The talking before you get to know somebody. You've probably talked to many, many people on the phone who you've never actually met.
True.
But you can determine if they're friendly,
true,
nice, and you can get a lot of that sense on a telephone conversation. And I think that's important, because then even if you meet them and you don't maybe physically, you don't feel that that's going to be somebody that you want to necessarily date, you still have a good time. It's still a good experience.
What do you think, Helen? The first time I ever heard my husband's voice, I thought he was so loud and so over the top that I would never have a relationship with him.
That was exactly the way my father said about my mother.
Is that right?
But you know what? There's a great deal of psychological data that you tend to gravitate to people from the same socioeconomic background, same general level of intelligence, same general level of good looks, same religious and social values, and same educational level these days. So these, almost every dating site matches by. But what I wanted to do at chemistry.com is see what role real personality, aspects of personality play. For example, and like you, I don't know you and your husband, of course, but there's some kinds of people who are very, they're tough-minded, they're direct, they're decisive, they're analytical, they're logical, and they gravitate to people who are empathetic, nurturing, good verbal skills, good people skills. And so in some cases, likes really gravitate to likes, and in other cases, opposites attract. And that's one of the things that I did on chemistry.com. I looked at 40,000 people. I studied really hundreds of personality traits and found constellations of personality traits. For example, People were very exploring, daring, curious, creative. They go for people like themselves. Traditional people go for people like themselves. But if you're very nurturing and compassionate, you will go for your opposite. And so I'm trying to add that whole component on chemistry.com.
Here's an email from Philip in Silver Spring. He says, in commenting on an article in The Atlantic about eHarmony and other, quote, scientific matches, author psychologist Dan Gilbert, who wrote Stumbling on Happiness, had this to say, quote, I was chagrined that absolutely none of the scientific systems seem to have been submitted to any kind of scientific scrutiny. I wondered why the word science was in there at all. It seemed to me all of these scientists were essentially yentas in white coats. I heard about a lot of systems for matching that sounded like they had no basis whatsoever in scientific research. Back to you, Helen.
I just have submitted my academic article, and I'd be happy to send it to him. So if he's listening now, just email me at helenfisher@helenfisher.com, and I'll send you the article. But it hasn't been published yet. It's going through peer review now. I really think it's profoundly important that if you say you're doing science, that you are transparent. And at chemistry.com, they are very eager to do that. I've got I'm going to make two presentations at the forthcoming American Psychological Association annual meeting this summer. And I think what we really ought to do is share our science. We are studying one of the most powerful and important things on Earth. I mean, we're not selling soap. We're selling the opportunity to find life's greatest prize, which is a mating partner. And I believe in absolute transparency. I'm very glad he said that. And my article will be the first of a great many that I will do on this subject.
I hope he does, in fact, email you. Helen Fisher is research professor in anthropology at Rutgers University and with chemistry.com. And you're listening to The Diane Rehm Show. We'll open the phones now, 800-433-8850, to Jenny here in Washington, D.C. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'm on several online dating sites with a headline, Wanted, a Man for Some Seasons. And my limited experience so far is mainly that I get matches that are totally opposite from my expressed values and interests, even after a long questionnaire. Or I get an encouragement by these sites to send a quick flirt, a quick reply, even a gift, send a gift. Or a coined I'm interested in you message. You know, I don't care if someone's interested in me. I want to know why he's interested in me. I want to know what he liked about my profile and what resonated with him.
Nancy Ann.
Yes, hi, Jenny. In regard to the kind of what you're referring to as this short icebreaker or wink, I agree with you. I think the premise of that is for people who are not paying for the site, because it is free to send an icebreaker or a wink. If you get a response, if you need to email someone, you need to be paying. Because one of the challenges, you don't know if the person that you're contacting is actually a paying member of the site. So you're right. You want an email. You want to know why they liked your profile, why they're interested in you. And when I have talked to clients, I encourage them to use emails and to try to avoid this winking or quick icebreakers, because it really is sort of a time kill. It's sort of lazy. And so I would also encourage you to look for people that you want if they're not coming to you, because no one knows better what you want than you. And that great guy or woman or could be out there for you, and you might not meet their height parameters.
Good luck to you, Jenny. And now to Denton, Texas. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Ms. Rehman. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I just wanted to disagree somewhat with the importance of the video and so forth. Because I met my wife 10 years ago, January 14th. playing backgammon online, not specifically looking for a mate.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And in that online little crawl there, that chat back and forth, I was able to ask her every important question I had and get my answer in response. So with a thrilling Friday night first conversation, transcript basically, I got her phone number and called her. We had a phone conversation. Within 2 weeks, she had flown to Dallas. We watched the Super Bowl together that weekend, and she had given all my information, which I freely gave her to a family member who was in law enforcement. Well, to make a long story short, by April, I had moved to California halfway across the country, and we just celebrated 10 years together.
Congratulations, David. What do you think of that, Helen?
Well, I think, the brain is built to love. I mean, I study the brain circuitry of romantic love, and this brain system can be triggered in a lot of ways.
Backgammon is as good as any.
You bet.
Well, I'm glad that David found his mate, and Ellen, I'm sure there are a lot of different ways that people do come upon the people they're going to love forever.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I write profiles every week of couples getting married, they're still all over the map. I would say that we ask people to submit information about their weddings, and I would say about 40% of the submissions that we get are from people who did meet online in one way or another. And I also have to say that they are definitely as in love and as feel like they have a fairy tale as much as people who met offline.
That's wonderful. Short break, right back.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by PBS, presenting the National Parks, America's Best Idea, from filmmaker Ken Burns, airing tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS. By the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, environmental conservation, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse. And by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, working to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world. This is NPR.
Top intelligence officials last week warned that the threat is growing of a crippling attack on telecommunications and other computer networks. On the next Fresh Air, we talk about cybersecurity with James Lewis, senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He wrote the report for the Commission on Cybersecurity for the 44th Presidency. Join us.
Got a few naysayers out there. Here's an email from my correspondent who says, what dating sites do not tell you. Dating sites are a waste of money and time. Your radio show is simply becoming a lip service to these organizations. Ask how much it costs to join the dating site. Let me ask you that, John Gonzaga.
It depends a little bit on how long you join for the dating site, but for 1 month, it's $59.99, and then we'll go down to $49, $39.99 a month, depending on how many months that you join.
All right. More of this email. He says, there are more and more false content designs by the dating site to lure people in to waste time. Nancy Ann, you and I were talking about the kinds of things that people write. You correct them, you enhance them. So is the person who's reading that really getting a true picture of who that person writing that is?
For the profiles that I write or correct, absolutely. Everything I put in there is completely true. Even after I've created a profile, that person gets to review that profile. If something is not what they think is them, it is changed. The only thing I do is I basically get the information from the person. So instead of saying, I'm a fan of comedies, I want to know, what comedy do you like? Who are the actors that you want to see in comedies? Why do you like them? And that's the kind of stuff I just bring to life.
All right. He goes on to say, if an attractive 20-something with glossy pictures says he wants to meet people with the age from 20 to 60, it's obviously not a real person. There are so many sites with that kind of content. The trend has changed. Facebook is the current way to meet people. You will find less and less people using dating sites. What do you think about that, Ellen?
I think he's half right. You know, I think that Facebook, you know, is a way that people are meeting each other these days. And what Facebook gives you that maybe online dating doesn't is people in common. You know, one of the fears about online dating is that you don't sort of have that common reference of being set up by your, you know, second cousin or
sure.
having an old college friend in common. And that's what Facebook does. You can understand who you know that this person knows and maybe do, you know, some background checking. And so there are actually online dating services sort of being built on top of Facebook. And I do think that that's very likely to take off. But, you know, and I think, yes, there are going to be, you know, sort of fake fraudulent people on online dating services. But I don't think that's the norm. I think that there are a lot of people who are very sincerely looking for love on these sites.
What about that, John, the use of social media?
I disagree that social media is going to take over the online dating space. I don't know of any other company's numbers, but the stuff that I've seen publicly and from what I know inside us, we've grown every year. I actually think that social media and online dating sites will serve different niches and actually work very well together because people are on multiple platforms. So you can use social media as reference points for people who you're being matched up with on online dating sites. Online dating sites will often offer you value-added things over top of what you would ordinarily get on a social media site. I hear a lot about people saying that social media is going to take over what we do, but it just doesn't bear out in the numbers so far.
All right, to Londonderry, New Hampshire. Good morning, Lynn. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Diane. It's
Hi.
Great to be on your show.
Thanks.
My question was regarding the difference between males and females, the way they might fill out the profile, because in my life experience, it seems like sometimes men might overestimate what their good traits are and women might tend to underestimate what theirs are, so that, you know, how do you figure for sort of problems with self-perception?
Ellen Fisher.
Well, I think that that's always a problem. It's a problem in regular life, not just in a dating service. You know, you can really count on a lot of men to lie about their height and about how much money they make, and women tend to lie about their weight and how old they are. But, you know, this is why you've got to go out and meet the people. I mean, you've got to go out and meet them. I really believe that dating services are very good social networking. You're introduced to people on the dating service, and then you go out and meet them. And just to respond to what John and others said for the earlier question, at this point, my understanding is Facebook is largely for the young, and that as you get older, you're not as keen to do that daily work on Facebook. And I think there's a great deal of room for these dating services, to really expand. In fact, I think we're going to see more boutique dating services, boutique, you know, service for people who just like pets, for who just like to go skiing, who da 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 da.
And here's a question about whether there are online dating services for seniors over 55 and sites that cater particularly to that population of professionals. John?
I don't know for sure if there are, but Helen is correct. There have been an explosion of targeted sites for individuals from different social categories.
How
so
about
I'm
that?
I'm sure there is someone. There is a site out there for people who are over 55.
What about that, Ellen?
Yes, there are several. you know, you can pick from any one of probably half a dozen sites like that. But I don't necessarily think they're the most popular. I think that you'll still find, the most number of seniors still using sites like eHarmony, Chemistry, Maps.com, and just searching within, you know, the age parameters that they're looking for.
All right. To North Ridgefield, Ohio. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, everyone. Two comments or suggestions. I'd like to hear your opinions.
Sure.
First of all, on the first date, bring a friend and bring a camera and let them know that's going to happen on the first date for security and a second opinion. The second comment is this is a great marketing opportunity for the service, dating services, to provide their profile services to couples, marital counselors who, before the counselor digs into a lot of therapy, why don't we get profiles on the two individuals and see how they match up? That's it.
All right. Helen, why don't you take the second part of that?
Oh, I was just so focusing on the first. I was really, you know, if somebody came with a camera and to a date with me, I don't know, I'd be, and for a coffee shop in the middle of the afternoon, they'd be really signaling to me that they were not a very trusting person.
Yes.
What was the second one? I was so focused on the first.
Well, if the dating services are creating profiles, maybe you ought to provide those to marital counselors when those two people seek some kind of assistance.
I think that probably Nancy Ann would agree. I don't know, but I think that when you show people your profile, you can get a lot of responses from other people, and they can tell you more clearly what you didn't do and what you should do and how it hasn't worked, et cetera. So I think if you share your profile with all kinds of people, you're likely to not only improve your profile, but get to know a little bit more about yourself.
Nancy Ann?
I'd agree with Helen. I mean, the same way that your photos say 1,000 words on the dating profile, literally, so does your write-up.
All right. To Huntington, West Virginia. Brad, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I am curious to learn exactly what the relationship is between eHarmony and the Mormon Church and whether the Mormon Church has access to eHarmony data for its religious purposes. This is something that has been asserted and cited in the past, and I'm curious what the representative has to say about that.
John Gonzaga.
Yes, I'm glad that you brought this up because this is a popular misconception about eHarmony. We have no affiliation with any churches. We have no religious affiliations with any specific denomination. All people are welcome into our services. So our information is our information, and we take our customers' privacy very seriously and don't share that information outside of eHarmony.
But wasn't there a time when there was an affiliation?
No, eHarmony never had an official affiliation with anybody at any time in their history. We've always welcomed all people into our service. Our users have varied over the years, and I think there are users on our service who are very religious, but that has never been a focus of the site.
You use the word official, John. What does that mean?
Well, that's an overstatement. No official or unofficial. You know, we are a company unto ourselves. And, you know, like I said before, we take our privacy very seriously. We don't share our information with anybody out there. And that's the way it is.
All right. Let's go to Christina in St. Louis, Missouri. Good morning to you.
Good morning. In listening to your show, I've heard the sale, sort of sales pitches from each of the dating sites, and I've actually visited them as well. I'm very interested in all of them. I do think they're helpful and worthwhile. However, I don't have the discretionary income to join all of them, and for me, it's very overwhelming to choose the one that is right for me or to even know what is right for me. And that's my question.
Who wants to take that one on?
I will try that one. I would say if you're looking through dating sites, each dating site is going to have its own specific target that it's going after. At eHarmony, we've looked for helping people find good long-term relationships. So if that's what you're looking for, I would suggest that you come and try us out. All of the other sites out there have very different niches that they're focused on, and if you're looking for something different, you can go and take a look at what those dating sites are going to offer you.
Ellen, can you help us out with that?
Absolutely. One of the things the main thing we're trying to do at chemistry.com is actually empower you so that you understand more of who you are and what you are really looking for and what would be suitable to you. And I wrote a whole book on this. It's called Why Him, Why Her? How to Find and Keep Lasting Love. And in it, I really describe personality styles, how people are drawn to certain kinds of people, what the bumps in the road will be if you go for one person rather than another. And so that's the real focus here. It's not just to, you know, it's not just sort of trust us, we'll give you the right people, but get to know yourself and,
sure,
and get to know what you're looking for so that you can do it yourself.
But now let me turn to Ellen McCarthy. How would you say certain people are attracted to certain sites?
Well, I do think that income matters a great deal. Not everybody has money, and there are a number of very popular free online dating sites that have grown a great deal, including OkCupid and others. You know, I think if you are a commitment-minded person of a certain age, you are probably much more likely to go with an eHarmony or a Chemistry or a Trusted.com. You know, if you're sort of more interested in just dating socially, then you might go with one of the bigger ones, even like a Yahoo Personals or a Match.com, which sort of aggregates everyone.
Ellen McCarthy of the Washington Post, and you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Here's an email from Laurie, who's in Salt Lake City, Utah, who says, as much as I respect your guest service of assisting people in writing profiles, I object to the idea mainly because you learn a great deal about people through their imperfect profiles. The statements and mistakes you find in profiles tell you a lot about them without wasting time for a drink or coffee. I weed many men out based on poor grammar, idiotic statements, crass remarks, and the dreaded one-armed picture in the mirror. So what do you think, Nancy Ann?
Well, Lori, I appreciate that email, and I enjoyed it because I think there is a lot of truth. The challenge is there are some intelligent, good, quality people out there who can't spell, who can't write. If you're an IT professional, that might not be your forte. And so the way that a lot of these sites are done, there's not a, you basically have to cut and paste your profile from Microsoft Word to have it, you know, spell checked. There's no spell check features on the dating sites directly. And so while I appreciate what Lori is doing by being able to weed people out that way, hopefully the people that I meet and I work with realize all of this and don't want that to happen to them. And so things like grammar errors, that kind of stuff, everyone should be able to fix that. There should be spell check on all of these sites, but there's not. So it's, you know, up to us or other people to find out that you can't spell or that, you know, you're careless. And Lori's taking that directly to eliminate people. And I don't want a good person to be eliminated because of something like that.
All right. And finally, to Leanne, who's in Phoenix, Arizona. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Diane.
Hi.
Thanks for taking me call.
Sure.
I just wanted to let everyone know I met my husband 7 years ago on Match.com. We live a mile away from each other, but we had never met. So, and I wouldn't have found him because I was looking for someone older. He's actually a year younger than I am, and I was looking for my age and older. But one thing that we both really recognized is that we both spelled everything correctly. We had humor in our profiles. We really thought from the profile, if it's grammatically correct, you can tell a lot about that person from their spelling. I didn't need to meet them over video chat. I knew who they were because of how they wrote their profile.
That's interesting, Nancy. And there you go again, that idea of perfecting a profile for someone else can also have its downsides, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, the idea is that it's you. A lot of people are uncomfortable boasting about themselves, so they don't want to say good things about themselves because they're more humble. And so when somebody else does, you know, the actual writing, of course, again, they approve it and they make sure it's them, but they don't actually have to be the person that says, I'm great, I'm smart, and so, you know, I can take care of that for them.
Nancy Ann Sterling, she's founder and owner of TargetLove.com. That's an online dating service, profile writing service. And Ellen McCarthy of The Washington Post, Helen Fisher of Rutgers University and Chemistry.com, and John Gonzaga of eHarmony.com. Thank you all so much for brightening this blizzard day in Washington for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Happy Valentine's Day. Thanks for listening, all. I'm Diane Rehm.